We're coming from John chapter 7. Don't forget, Brandon has encouraged us now from reading, not from reading, but to add to our reading, now to memorize. So I've already had folks come to me, you know your scripture, you know what you say, you know. And so awesome. We're getting it in our hearts. Amen. John chapter 7. We're looking at two verses, verse 37 and verse 38. So just follow along with us here. This is from the NIV. It says, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.'" Can I just start off and just tell you, we're not only called to follow Jesus, but He's called us to stay thirsty. He's called us to stay thirsty, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. As we're continuing Sundays and Wednesday evenings on the subject of transformation, allow me to, right at the very beginning here, ask us two questions this morning. Do you want to be a spiritual container, or do you want to be a spiritual channel? Do you want us as a church to just be a reservoir, or do you want your church to be a flowing river? How we answer those two questions really determines our future. And to set the stage this morning for our scripture text, we find that here in the 7th chapter of John, we see him where John is beginning to keep a record of the last 6 months of Jesus' ministry. He's pointing out the fact that Jesus is no longer walking so openly in the area of Judea among the Jews. The verse 1 of chapter 7, it says, "After this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to be about in Judea," and that's where Jerusalem was located, "because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. But we know they couldn't because it was not his time." So he stays pretty much away from Jerusalem, except for the record that we're going to receive here in chapter 7 and through chapter 10. When he does go to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles, and then when he goes for the final visit then to the Feast of the Passover some 6 months later, and there to be crucified. So again, here in our text, we're entering into the final 6 months of the ministry of Jesus before his crucifixion. The Feast of Tabernacles was the feast in which they remembered God's preservation of their fathers through the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, of where they could not have survived on their own. The million plus people could not have survived 40 years in the desert. There's no way the desert could support that number of people who were now at the point of becoming nomads, except where the Lord has provided. And we know God did provide for His people. He guided them by day with a cloud, and by night there was a pillar of fire over them. And He provided them with quail to eat. He provided them every day with manna to eat. He provided them with water out of a rock. Can you imagine the amount of water coming out of that rock to quench the thirst of a million and plus people? And so this was the time for them to celebrate and remember God's miraculous provisions for their fathers in keeping them through that 40 years of their wandering in the wilderness. And so this Feast of Tabernacles, which took place in the 10th month of October of our calendar, was now at hand. And so again, our scripture verse 37, on the last and greatest day of the festival, it says, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." The last day, the great day of the feast, would have been the eighth day of the feast, because the Feast of Tabernacles lasted for 8 days. And it's on the last day, the great day of the feast, no doubt, there on the Temple Mount, thousands of people would have assembled for this feast. It was one of the three major feast days in the Jewish calendar, when all of the adult males were required to come and present themselves before God. And according to the historian Josephus, as many as 2.5 million people would have gathered in Jerusalem for these feasts during the time of Christ. And so you can imagine the large multitude of people on the Temple Mount. And now there was a significant symbolic action that took place each day of the feast. As the priest would fill the water jugs at the Pool of Siloam, and singing in the Hallel Psalms, these were the Psalms of praise, they would ascend the steps from the pool to the Temple Mount area. And before the people, they would pour out these jugs of water, letting them splash down upon the pavement. And it was to remind the people that when their fathers were dying in the wilderness, God preserved them by the miraculous, by giving them the water out of a rock when it was smitten by Moses. And so water then was a very important symbolic part of the Feast of Tabernacles. They realized that their fathers were about to be exterminated, but God preserved them and saved them by the water out of the rock. And so Jesus is here now on this last day, the great day of the feast, and he stands up and cries out, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." That thirst that Jesus here is referring to here is not a physical thirst. It's not even an emotional thirst. But it is that deep thirst in the spirit of a man or woman for God. Understand this morning that way down deep in every person there is that thirst, which is a need for a meaningful relationship with Almighty God. I don't care who you are or what your background may be or where you are. Every person deep down inside has that innate thirst for Almighty God. They may not recognize it or even acknowledge it as that. For sure, the enemy, we know, will try to have that thirst quenched with everything else but God. That's what he does. There are people who then try to cover that thirst up. They try to cover it up with a facade. They try to put on a show. They try to put on an act. They try to put on a display that everything's fine. They try to put on a grandiose kind of a front, like, "I've got it made. I'm okay. I'm good. Don't worry about me. I'm self-reliant. I don't need anyone's help." So on this one morning, Jesus stood in the middle of a religious crowd as the ceremony was ending. The priest had just taken a picture filled with water, and he poured it upon the altar, symbolizing salvation. The people danced, and they have now shouted, and now they're about to begin to make their way home. And Jesus stands there and cries out loud, and he says, "If any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart," the King James says, "out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." Jesus knew that on the next day, the people would only have a memory, yet they would not have that reality. So Jesus cries aloud to try to get the attention of the religious crowd. Do you know what he was trying to say to them? It's the same thing he's trying to say to so many of us across the world today. He was simply trying to say, stop enduring religion and start being revived. I don't believe God is through with America. Yes, it looks bad, but I believe we're still on the verge of that last great spiritual awakening, even as we see how America as a whole has turned its back on God. And many we know will embrace this awakening for more of God, and we know many will refuse it. And you've got to understand then, God's judgment will come. God's judgment will come. We don't want to be here for that. I believe God is still looking for those, including pastors and leaders, who want to be a part of this last day revival. Those who have not compromised the gospel, or have not even given in to this woke culture that is about us. He really does want us to be transformed in every area of our lives. Why? To be able to carry out his purpose on the earth in these last days. And I've come then to remind us this morning that there really is a Holy Ghost empowerment that we need and that is available to every believer if we will embrace it and make it a part of our lives. Well, what is that empowerment? What does it consist of? Well, preachers and teachers, all with good intentions, will tell you, well, you have to go through this 10-step plan, or those 7 keys to get it. Been there, done that in the past. And sadly, it is the church that makes it so complicated, Brandon. Understand that Jesus keeps it so simple. Well, what is the secret to being revived and rejuvenated in our individual lives and in our homes and even to be able to see a true harvest of souls in the kingdom? The answer is one simple little word called thirst. Thirst. In fact, Jesus was talking here about the river of the Holy Spirit flowing out of our bellies like a rolling, flowing river through our lives. I do not know how much of God you have this morning, but I would dare say we have at this moment just as much of God as we want to have. We are here with this level that we have desired up to this point. And understand, we determine our level of victory with our level of thirst on a daily basis. How much victory do you want to walk in? Depends how thirsty are you. Jesus is looking for thirsty people. And so did you know a shallow thirst only produces shallow satisfaction? And if we're going to be a Spirit-empowered church, where we are being transformed on a daily basis into His image, we've got to get to the place where we don't just focus on our emptiness, but we begin to focus on our thirstiness. Understand, the devil wants you to focus on the negative and what you don't have. Why? Because he wants to keep you down and depressed and eventually despondent, and you might take your life. That's what the devil wants. But Jesus comes to us and tells us to stay thirsty, to stay thirsty. And guess what? He will quench that thirst. Well, we can begin to say, Lord, I'm thirsty. I want to be filled with the power of your Spirit. And I promise you, He'll do it. Again, I do not know how much of God you have, but we are where we are. And only we as individuals and God knows just how much of Him we truly desire. How much of God do you desire? So what is this source of the Spirit-empowered church? Some people have the idea, well, we've got to be in a certain place. Some people have the idea you've got to go to a particular preacher, or what they would define then as a genuine revival. Yes, yet Jesus answered it. He said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come, where? To me. Jesus Christ is our source, and we can come to Him anytime, anywhere. Jesus has always been our source. And if you're needing some joy in your life this morning, then you just go ahead and you put some praise music on and you start drinking. And guess what? You can belly up to the bar and get a drink of His joy and His peace and His strength 24/7. Would you look at somebody and say, chug-a-lug? And that simply means you're going to take a long gulp. The devil can't stand it when you're drinking in the joy. Why? Because there's no bad side effects to that. He can't put any guilt on you. He can't put any shame on you after you've drank of the goodness of God. Understand with me that holiness is not the way to Jesus either. But Jesus is the way to holiness. I'm talking about living right. Revival is not the way to Jesus. Jesus is the way to revival, to be being revived. Again, Jesus Christ is our source. He's not here in the flesh, but we have His Spirit, and it's called the Spirit of Truth. He's called the Comforter to help us in our time of need. He's always been the source, and He'll always be the source of our true strength. And Jesus gave every one of us then the same invitation. He said, if you're thirsty, come. What does that mean? It means you've got to respond to that call. He didn't say, if you're thirsty, sit down. He said, if you're thirsty, come. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come and drink. Well, how do we drink? We drink by faith. Well, how do we drink by faith? Jesus said that he that believes or who trusts in me. Do you believe? We sang about it this morning. You believe by faith that as a child of the King, that he has your best in mind. You come and you put your whole being in His hands through your surrender. Half-heartedness will not work. Just doing it halfway will not work. So you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you drink by faith. Well, Lord, here's my life. I give it to you, Lord. Fill me to overflowing. where I'm now, I'm going to splash on everybody else that I come in contact with. It is possible for us then to become so thirsty that every nerve in our body cries out for something to drink. Physicians tell us that you can get so thirsty that every thought in your mind cries out for something to drink. Imagine yourself this morning in the Mojave Desert. It says in June of 2021, the Mojave Desert set a new record temperature of reaching 130 degrees. That was the highest ever recorded in the world. So imagine yourself this morning in that desert. You've been there now for just over 2 days and you haven't had a drop of water. And you are walking along this dirty, dusty path trying to find help. And you're desperately thirsty. Every nerve cries out for something to drink. Every thought thinks about a glass of ice water. You're so thirsty. I mean desperately thirsty. You make your way around a curve. And as you do, you see a man standing there along the roadside. And he's holding in his hand a pitcher filled with ice water. And it's one of those see-through pitchers. You can see the ice cube, Sister Linda, floating on the inside. And you know it's cold water because there's condensation on the outside and it's dripping off the bottom. Do you get the word pitcher right now? The man looks at you and looks in your eyes and he can tell that you're desperately thirsty. And he says to you, "You can have every bit of my water." Let me ask you, are you going to look at that man and say this, "Well, thank you for that offer, but I've got so much to do on my to-do list, I don't have time to stop." Are you going to say, "Well, let's just go ahead first and sit down in the dust and let's have a long theological debate as to whether or not that water is for me?" No, 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 no. You're not going to do that. You know why? Because you're desperately thirsty. You know you're going to die unless you have that water that is inside that pitcher. And with a thankful heart, you reach out and you take that pitcher and you drink that water, knowing that it will satisfy you and will help you live. For the last 20 years, tens of thousands of churches have become confused between their religious formalities and the taking care of spiritual business, that being leading people to Christ. Jesus Christ stands in a barren wilderness and he says, "If you're thirsty, come to me and drink by faith." And he says, "I've got something that will satisfy you and will change your life." Now listen to me closely. If we're going to wait until we've got enough time to seek God, we're going to be waiting a very long time. We're going to be waiting the rest of our lives. If you're going to wait until all the pressures are gone and all the stress of life is gone before we come to Christ for that empowerment and revival and rejuvenation, guess what? Then we're going to be waiting the rest of our lives. We cannot wait on society. We can't wait till our work says so. We can't wait on our family, our friends, or our coworkers. No, we've got to make up our mind that we're coming to Jesus now. Why? Because we are thirsty. And understand that Jesus Christ is not offering us then a sweet little flowing stream. No, but it is a powerful, miraculous, flowing river of His Spirit. Jesus is not offering something that is out of touch or outdated. He is offering something that will transform our individual lives, and it will change our church forever. Something that will see us through the chaos and the trouble that is ahead of us. And there are. The enemy has his plans. But I'm here to tell you, if we'll stay thirsty, God will give us his plan. And we'll be quenched through all this junk. Jesus said, if any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Jaden's not here today to ask how many times, Pastor, do you know how many times you said Super Bowl last week or the Super Bowl Sunday? I said, no, Jaden, I don't. She said, you said it quite a bit. Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. Well, I'm saying, quench your thirst. Yes. The Lord is here. Yes. Out of his belly. Out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. What Jesus was saying was based on the Word of God. He wasn't simply espousing a new truth. The Word of God had already said it, and he was reiterating it to the people. I believe Jesus was talking about a personal river. And a powerful river like the one that we find in the story in Ezekiel 47. Such a river that when the river of the Spirit flows through our life, it transforms our character. And you've got to know there's a difference between being a character and having character. I don't want somebody to say, oh, that pastor, he's a character. That's not a good thing. I want them to be able to say, man, that pastor has character. Yes. Amen. 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 That's how, that means how you react, how you respond to people's words, with your actions. How do you respond to others? He wants the river of the Spirit to flow through our lives. And yes, the real church needs a holy river because sadly, so many individuals in the church live like the world, they talk like the world, and they prioritize like the world. And spending quality time with Jesus is not a priority. As soon as they say it's closing time, out the door they go. Why? Because they want to get to the restaurant before the crowd. Ezekiel 47, we find where this river flows under the door. You can't get much lower than that. It's a low flowing river representing humility. Everybody say humility. Humility. Did you know that a spirit of pride will hinder the moving of the Spirit of God? Well, Pastor, I just don't need that joy. I just think that's ridiculous. Fine. You just keep that frown, you prune-looking person, you. I want the joy. Did you know it's pride that hinders one's transformation? We are never to become self-reliant. The world wants us independent. The government wants us dependent upon them. But we are to determine that our lives are dependent on the Lord's help 24/7. And you got to know, I can't make it one day without him. Every week, if not daily, we need a fresh outpouring of the power of his Spirit upon our lives. As the river of God flows, it then travels by the altar when you read this story in Ezekiel 47. If we plan then to be part of this last day revival, we have to understand that the gateway is the altar. The altar is the on-ramp to the river of revival. And what I mean by that is that the altar is where we return and we let go of those weights that have hindered us, those weights that we have been dragging behind us. And we fall in love with Jesus all over again. And you've got to know, many have lost their first love. I'm not just talking about this altar. You can make the altar in your car. Amen. Driving down the road. Every aspect of our lives then is to not just be physically but spiritually healthy and reproductive for years to come. Age has nothing to do with it. Every great then move of God starts small, but it does not stay small. Every mighty river has its source or a beginning, yet it goes and it grows as it flows. Ezekiel 47, the man of God gets off of the bank and he comes down to the river and he begins to measure the river when you read the story. We can see the man of God as he gets off the bank and he goes along the shore. And the river is first to his knees, the Bible says, and then to his ankles, and then to the waist, and then to the river to swim in. A lot of people like to have revival sitting on the bank. They like to stay there on the bank and let the S-O-N touch them. Why? Because they want them to touch them there because there's no effort then on their part.
Come on.
Oh. Gonna stay right here. I'm not gonna get wet. Come on, Jesus, you just go ahead and do your thing right here. They like to watch where the river's going. And yes, they love to talk about it. And they love to read about it in church history books of what happened way back then. Understand there is a difference between sitting on the bank and being in the river. There is a difference between talking about revival and being a part then of the supernatural outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit. Some have been on the banks way too long. And I believe it's time for us to get off the bank and get in the river. And yes, get wet and not worry about your coiffure. And go where God wants us to go. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I'm simply meaning let God be in control of your lives. If we will follow Him, He will lead us. Following and obeying His Word. And you won't know His Word if you have not read it. Tony will confirm that. He knows the Word. That man, him and Becky, are in the Word. I love what I heard this week. A minister was speaking and he said, sin will keep us from the book, but the book will keep us from sin. Isn't that awesome? As the man of God surveys this powerful, transforming river, there comes that point when he gets in over his head and he becomes part of the river. In other words, it is possible for us to get in sync with the Holy Spirit and go with the flow. Would you look at somebody and say, we need to go with the flow. I read the other day, and it's worth repeating, we have to move from competing with fellow churches and get to the place of completing with fellow churches. And I think it is so pleasing to God right now as He has brought some of the local pastors, including myself, He's brought us together with a like-minded spirit, and we are meeting and praying together every other Friday. And there is absolutely, you've got to know this, there's absolutely no hint of competition between us. But we have determined that together we are going to see God do something here in Alvarado. As we look at this river, we see Jesus is offering us then also a healing river. The Bible says that this river flows and it begins to transform the desert. Spirit empowerment deals with dry places in our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to transform then our barrenness into fruitfulness. The Lord wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit working in our lives. We see where this river flows then to the desert, and it ends up at the Dead Sea. And as with our lives, the Lord first of all again deals with the dry places, and guess what? Then He will deal with the dead places in our life. Do you have any dead places in your life? Yeah. Any dead places in your life? The Bible says their leaves became like medicine. Our lives then are to be like medicine to a hurting world. Did you know that? Yeah. Why? We have the answer. Yes. We have what will take care of the need. When people come in contact with us, they are to sense then the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. They are to sense that there's something different about you and about me. And I'm telling you, if you'll let the Lord speak to you, His Spirit will lead you. And you'll know, well, I need to pray for that person. They're looking at me and then... You go to them, and there's something just about you. I don't know what it is. I can't figure it out. And then you can tell them, it's Jesus. Amen. And if the above was not grand enough, when the river of God gets to the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea then is transformed. If we went to the Dead Sea today, there are two things that you will not find. You won't find fish, and you won't find any fishermen. But when the river of life gets there, there's two things you're going to find. You're going to find fish, and you're going to find fishermen. When God sends the Spirit of empowerment to us individually as the church and to us as a whole, I'm here to tell you this morning, there's two things you're going to find. You're going to find fishermen, and you're going to find fish. You will find men and women coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And do you know what then revival does? Do you know what transformation does? Do you know what renewing will do to our lives? They get fishermen and fish, Brandon, together. They seem to find each other. And it's not that little worm on the hook that Galen catches all the bass with. They cause us to become mighty soul winners for the glory of God. We're on the earth for two reasons. Number one, to glorify and magnify our God, the Creator. And we're also here to win souls for Christ. When we as a church become fully empowered and transformed, we will catch fish where we have never caught fish before. In closing today, each of us in our own circle of influence can become a fountainhead then of supernatural revival that impacts everyone and everything around us. Why then should we settle for a natural, average, everyday church when the Lord wants us then to have and to be that supernatural, empowered church that He's called us to be? And why should we settle then for a reservoir when the Lord is offering us a river? Why should we desire then to be only containers when the Lord wants us to be a channel? Why should we settle then for the breeze of a fan, of a ceiling fan, when the Lord is offering us a mighty rushing wind? Let's realize today that the Holy Spirit of Almighty God has made it possible. And He wants us then to come to those living waters of life, to quench our souls, transforming us hour by hour and day by day, so we can then follow Him and let Him lead us to where the fish are. Remember, He's made us to be hands, His hands. He's made us to be His feet and His mouthpiece in this hour to fulfill His purpose on the earth. And we then can fulfill our calling by simply staying thirsty for Him. Amen and amen. Let's all stand together. Ministry team, would you come on down? Hallelujah. Woo. I feel His presence here this morning. Hallelujah. Jesus is saying, simply come. Simply come. Drink of the living waters. And He will quench that thirsty soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's here today. His Spirit is here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love it when we gather together. Would y'all all come down? Let's just gather around here today. It's just something about our church family. I think we have a very unique family. God has put us together for this hour. And you got to know we're a loving family. We love one another. We have not gone through the things that we have gone through to just live a normal, average, run-of-the-mill life. No, God has allowed things in our life to make us stronger. Well, I don't see how that made me stronger. You turn it over to the Lord. Lord, I don't know why I went through those things. Maybe He wants you to trust Him. You can't see the other side, but He's already on the other side working on our behalf. He's ready to do in our lives. Oh, He's so ready. I'm telling you, when we give these bags out, this is our next step. This is the bait. We're going to catch the fish, okay? You ever seen them throw out that meal in one of them little ponds and them catfish come up to the top? Oh my gosh, the water is, it's moving. Them catfish are there. I love that little TikTok video. This little elderly man gets on the wharf. I don't know if you've ever seen that. And he has this minnow about that long. And he lays down on the wharf and he holds it and dangles it over the water. And in a minute, up comes this big old bass. And that little elderly man grabs that bass, pulls him up. Can you imagine? Can we dangle that above the water? Put it out that window. Say, here you go, my friend. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. I'm telling you, if you have the opportunity, then you can talk to them. You might be at a red light and have to go on, but you've planted that seed. You've planted the bait. We're going to have numbers in there. We're going to have scriptures, everything for them to contact us. That's our next step there. What more can we do? At the laundromat, at the store, at the Dollar General, in the parking lot. Get up in the morning. Lord, thank you for favor today. Thank you for that parking space. I thank you that I'm going to park right next to somebody that needs you. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Step out into the river. Step out in there. Talk to your coworkers. I've shared this many years ago. Had a coworker. Oh, that would make fun, being a Christian. They didn't want to talk about it. They knew where I stood as a believer. And of course, they were going through all kind of stuff, divorce and all that. Out front of everybody, you'd never know. You'd never think that they have any desire. But I'm telling you, they'd catch you back there in the back hall at the water fountain. Marshall, would you just talk to me? I need your prayers. I need help today. I need you. They're crying for help. A world is crying out. And they're going to come. As the world gets worse, they're going to come. But we're to go to them too. Let's don't sit here and wait on them to come in here. Let's bring them in. Bring them in. Father, I thank you today. Lord, you have brought us together from the youngest to the oldest. You've brought us together for this hour. And Lord, I know we've been through a lot. We've made a lot of mistakes. But Lord, I thank you that hopefully we are learning. Through the years, we have learned what we don't do and what we are to do. And so Lord, I thank you today that this is a new day for us. And we're going from this day forward. And Lord, we are determined. I'm determined. I want to do everything that you've called me to do in this hour. Mold me. Make me what you want me to be. Lead me. I want to be a person of character. I want the fruit at work in my life. I want others to see the fruit of your spirit in my life that I can share with others. Pour out your spirit. Lord, I'm thirsty. I want to stay thirsty. I want you. Come and quench my thirsty soul today and tomorrow when I get up in the morning. I'll be ready for another drink. And I thank you, Lord, and I declare that over this body of people today that we're going to stay thirsty. And when you say come, we're going to come and we're going to respond. Thank you for the joy. Thank you for the peace. Thank you for the strength that you said we can have. Your word says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So the Lord, we're going to drink like we've never drank before. And I thank you that this is a body of people who are thirsty. And yes, we are hungry for all that you have. Thank you, Lord, as we go from this place. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that your covering, your protection continues to be with us and that you'll bring us back at the appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I love you. God bless you. We're right here to pray with you as we pray.